everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
And welcome to First Strike here on VSiN. I'm your host, Dave Ross. For the next hour, we're going to break down the first fight card of 2023. Yes, the UFC's been off for the better part of a month, but we are glad that they are back, which means we are back in business here at VSiN. Of course, over the next hour, going to be joined momentarily by Lou Finocchiaro. Jordan Sherwood's going to join us from Chicago. Dan Vreeland and Reed Kuhn to round out the first hour of 2023. So without further ado, let's bring in the man you can follow on Twitter at Gamblu. He is the host of the Bout Business podcast, the one and only Lou Finocchiaro, joining us from Arizona. And Lou, you and I talked First Strike, First Look on Tuesday about this card here, the first one of 2023. And then you get the privilege of watching those weigh-ins, and I know you really scout them. Tell me what you saw in the main event, and we know we have quite the weight, disparaging weights here for the main event for a fight that could go off at 205, but we got the headliner here much lighter than that.
Well, first of all, Dave, thanks so much for having me on. I love appearing, especially with the lineup of handicappers and experts that you guys bring on every week. And as far as this main event is concerned, 185-pound fighters fighting at 205 because of the short nature situation of Strickland stepping in on 1 week's notice. He fought a month ago at 185. And so Strickland weighed in at 204. He looked so dynamically different than my last impression of him a month ago when he was on the scale slash in the octagon. And then Imavov came out for a fight that he could have weighed 206 for. He weighed 194, and he was absolutely chiseled out of marble. Earlier in the week, I voiced to you a lot of concern that I overlooked as far as Strickland just having fought a couple of fights recently and turning around in short notice. After weigh-ins, I completely have turned 180 degrees. I don't like the sight in this fight at all. Rather, I think there are other opportunities in the fight.
Well, and that is such a great way, and certainly a trained eye that you have when you watch the weigh-ins, that it might change the perception of a conversation we had just 72 hours ago on First Strike, First Look. So you mentioned Nasruddin here looked really good on the scale. Again, you know, fighting now, normally these are 185ers, could go up to 190 or to 205, but he's only at 194. If the fight goes longer, who does that favor with Strickland having the 10-pound weight advantage in this one?
Originally, my thought was that Strickland is the guy that fights all the time, and he doesn't really need to worry about being in too much shape. He can do five rounds in his sleep. And while he just got through with five rounds with Cannoneer a month ago, His whole demeanor, disposition, and look on the scale totally tainted me from any consideration of Strickland. And while I don't want to reverse course and take Imavov now as a favorite of minus 130 or 135, rather, I think where I'm going with this is that the fight will not go the distance. I don't believe that Strickland is going to be very good in the late rounds after what I saw. And we know that Imavov has had a problem in late rounds himself. So I think later in this fight, one guy is going to succumb to the other, to be quite honest.
That's fascinating because, again, Imavov right now has ballooned up slightly just to a minus $1.30 betting favorite. You've seen Strickland now plus $1.10, plus $1.15 out there. The total rounds, 4.5, they're almost priced like the fight. If you like Strickland as a small dog, where the over 4.5 is about the same price, plus $1.10. If you like Imavov here, the under 4.5 rounds is about where he is at minus $1.40. So there seems to be correlations here, Lou, with the adjusted lines, kind of observing what you have observed here, that maybe this fight does not go all five rounds here if Strickland doesn't look as good in the scale like Nassereddin certainly looked today.
That's surely my impression of this fight. I feel calm. I don't like to lay a number. And at the time, it was minus 165. So I'm not sure where DraftKings has it now. It was a DraftKings number. But I don't think this fight goes 25 minutes.
Absolutely fascinating. That's why it's so important when you have those evaluations early in the week, how they can change when you look at the scale and see the way the fighters look today. And certainly, Lou, that's a great takeaway that you have there. Let's go to the co-main event. In this one, this should be a pretty entertaining fight. Hey, whenever you have 50K Dan Ige inside that octagon, you know it's going to be exciting, taking on Damon Jackson here. I know we had a lean on this fight when we talked on Tuesday. Has anything changed your perception in the last 72 hours?
No, Ige was a little late to the scale, but he looked just fine. I think that both guys are ready to give their best effort. I just believe that Ige is benefited by the fact that he's been in with better, though he's lost four of his last five. He lives in Vegas, doesn't have to travel. He and Puna Soriano are buddies from Hawaii. They're going through this together. They're on the same card, back-to-back fights. And I think Ige's in a really, really good spot based on the caliber of an athlete he's competed against his last five fights.
Now, you're laying a small price here with 50K Ige minus $1.25. You can do some of those correlated plays, Lou, like we like to talk about. Ige by decision is plus 225. And you see that the total rounds here, that prop, 2.5, juiced heavily to the over at minus $1.75. Would you consider taking that plus price tag with Ige via decision, or do you think there's still some explosion in those hands, possibly KO, TK, or DQs, plus 275?
Not necessarily because Ige has the heavy hands, but because Damon Jackson has been finished, and he's primarily a submission kind of a guy. I think that Ige, being shorter of stature, if he can go in there and take away the body, the head will follow. And I don't put it past Ige, angry as he is, to potentially finish Jackson. So I don't want to get too cute with it. I'm going to keep it simple, and I'll lay the minus 120, minus 125, whatever it is.
All right, I like where your head's at on that one. Certainly, sometimes we can out-trick ourselves. If you have the right side, which you feel you're on there with Ige, let's not get too cute at some of those plus prices. Let's go down this card a little bit. You mentioned how Ige is there also with his training partner, and you look at Punahale Soriano against Roman Kopylov here. Kopylov right now is plus $1.30, Soriano minus $1.50. We know how those camps go, and you follow these camps closely. Do you like Soriano in this spot here? You do have to lay $1.50 if you do.
I do. He opened a little higher than that. I'm surprised that the action came in on Kopylov. The reason this fight is situated where it is, it's because it's like throwing a stick of dynamite into a munitions warehouse. I mean, these two guys are going to stand in the middle of the cage and throw down. Soriano's the more well-rounded fighter, has a little better wrestling background, and for that reason, I give him an edge in this fight. Primarily, Kopylov is going to acquiesce by striking and standing, and he doesn't have much defense. Soriano's got the edge in power, and I like his position here. Both Ige and Soriano, it just works out that way I didn't walk into it trying to make that happen.
You know, Lou, I'm looking down the card here, and, you know, you have a Nurmagomedov on the card, and that's Umar Nurmagomedov, and he is the biggest favorite on said card, minus 950 against Rayony Barcelos here, plus 650 on Barcelos. You actually think we might have a live dog scenario. Explain to the people what you might see in this fight.
We're going to see Umar Nurmagomedov, who is a legit, but he's been in with Brian Kelleher and Nate Maness, not necessarily elite in the division. He's got bludgeoning leg kicks. He's a vice grip Russian wrestler out of the Nurmagomedov camp, and he's legit. That said, he opened 200, and maybe that was a little low. Maybe he should be minus 300 against a well-rounded Brazilian grappler striker in Barcelos that is getting completely overlooked here. When Barcelos says that he wants to win this fight and then go against Davashvili, he has the ability to get that done. And so just on principle alone, maybe not a full unit of wager, but that's a third or a half a unit of wager on Barcelos on a price that's absolutely incorrect.
Yeah, plus 675 right now that you can get at DraftKings here. And again, what style of fight do you think you might see with Umar here if Rayoni's going to pull the upset? Is it going to be by hands? Because I know sometimes it's tough to get those decision victories when you're that big of an underdog.
Thanks for asking that question, Dave, because it's critical to the fight, and it's Nurmagomedov.
Okay, I think we might have just lost Lou there for a second. But again, he likes Barcelos here at plus 650 in this fight against Umar Nurmagomedov. Remember, this is the biggest price tag on the card at minus 950. So again, just want to go through Lou's plays here if we can't get him back. But again, it's fascinating Lou's observations. After watching the weigh-ins today, okay, he's not going to go with Sean Strickland, which is a lean he had earlier in the fight week. And now he likes this fight in the main event to play to the under 4.5, that it does not go the distance here. And again, he's going to kind of hedge off of that Sean Strickland spot here. Also likes Dan Ige, minus $1.50 over Damon Jackson. And again, Barcelos here, plus 650. And Punahale Soriano at minus $1.50 as Lou's strongest plays. Very quickly, Lou, I think we have you back here for the final minute. Just very quickly, tell the people what they get when they tune in and listen into the Bout Business podcast each and every week.
A very short 15, 16 minutes of my final releases each week. Those releases this week match exactly what we've talked about in this podcast here. So, Dave, I appreciate you having me on. I appreciate you letting me mention the podcast, and I appreciate being back. Good luck to everybody at the fight.
I've got you for a little bit more. I've got you for 45 seconds, Lou. Give me one other perfect fight in the card. I've re-released your releases and the fights and the leans that you like here. I know that the Sarge, that fight got canceled the first fight of the night. Is there another bout out there that you still see some value in here on a Friday?
No value in this fight. The young man Nascimento's fighting Carlos Hernandez. Nascimento, they're both listed at 5'8 with the same reach. They're not. Nascimento has dynamic physical advantages. He has dynamic Brazilian jiu-jitsu advantages, and this is a steamroller. You can use Nascimento as the foundation for a lot of parlays.
Right now, minus 330, Nascimento there against Carlos Hernandez. Lou, it is great to be back. 2023 begins. It's always good to kick it off with you, sir. Again, follow him on Twitter as I do, at GamBlue. Back, we're going to Chicago and Jordan Sherwood next on First Strike.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angi.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you plenty of ways to bet on the UFC. Just download the DraftKings Sportsbook app, and you're going to be able to bet on more than just the main event. DraftKings has great odds on fight lines, total rounds, and futures for all MMA events. Eligibility restrictions to apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for all the terms and conditions. We roll on this edition, this first edition of First Strike here in 2023. Always a pleasure to go back to my former stomping grounds for 8 years, the great city of Chicago. That's where we find Jordan Sherwood again. You can follow Jordan as I do at Wood on ESPN 1000. Jordan, I guess it's past Happy New Year time, but it's the first time I've seen you in 2023. So we're hoping the new year is off and running for you, good sir, back there in Chicago. You know, I was just talking to Lou Finocchiaro, and we looked at the weigh-ins for this main event here, and we saw the weight disparaging numbers in the weight here in the main event for Imamov here, who is about 10 pounds lighter than Sean Strickland. Does that factor into your handicap here with these two guys normally at 185, supposed to fight at 205, and one guy doesn't even get close to that limit?
Well, I mean, it does from the standpoint of, you know, Sean Strickland indicated actually prior to the Jared Cannonier fight the last time we saw him that he eventually was going to make the jump to 205, that the weight cut to 185 was just too taxing. And that was surprising coming from a guy in Sean Strickland that has cardio for days. And one of his strong suits is the fact that he could push hard for three or five rounds. I don't think it's going to play a factor, really, if you're siding with either fighter. Obviously, it's a short notice fight, so circumstances, you could throw them out the window because, you know, it's a different game plan that Imamov has to now put together in 3 or 4 days with Calvin Gastelum, being injured. So I don't pay much of a factor into how they look at the weigh-ins. What I do play a factor into is the game plan for Sean Strickland. Sean Strickland, a guy that's going to get in your face, is going to pressure you, hide behind the jab. And what we've talked about with Strickland prior in previous, you know, first strikes is the Jared Cannonier power was an issue. Obviously, the Alex Pereira power was an issue. I don't think Imamov has that type of power. He's certainly a versatile striker that could cause some issues. But I don't think what's hurt Sean Strickland from winning fights these last two is something that he's going to face come tomorrow night.
It's interesting, Jordan, too, when you try to look at pathways to victory for both guys. So, you know, and we've talked about Strickland so many times, you know, he's always in a main event. It feels like at this stage of his career, he's going to try to walk you down, as you mentioned, kind of get through that jab. KRDQ is +$3 here. If you like the under 4.5 rounds, which is -$1.40, is that the way it goes for Strickland? Would it be by KO? Because we know a sub is really the long shot here at 14-1.
I agree. Sub is probably out the window. I think under 4.5 is certainly in play, really, for both guys. I mean, I could see a scenario where Sean Strickland overwhelms Imamov and gets him out of there with a TKO finish into the championship rounds. Does Sean Strickland finally go for takedowns? I mean, I think anybody backing Strickland has been yelling at their television the last two times he's fought, like, why aren't you going for takedowns when you know you can do it? And Imamov, like, look, this is a huge step up in competition, a very big name for him. But he's also a guy that can get some finishes. I mean, we've seen him, what, two out of his last three fights, he's been able to get his opponent out of there. And he's, you know, he's going to have the benefit of being fully prepared for a five-round fight. Whereas, you know, Strickland, we know he's always in the gym. He's always ready to fight. But he wasn't really preparing for a fight. So maybe a body, you know, something to the kidneys. A body strike for Imamov lands and Strickland, you know, curls up and gets out of there. But I do like the play at under 4.5. I do think we will get a finish by either one of these guys in the main event.
Let me ask you this, Jordan. I know this is kind of a trickier way to handicap it here. If we like that, which I'm picking up what you're putting down for the under 4.5 rounds, which is minus money here, minus $1.40, but we think there's finishing potential for both guys to get that under, would you consider playing the plus price tags, where Nasruddin right now is plus 240 to get a KRT, KRDQ, Strickland plus $3 at for the same finishing style, KRT, KRDQ. If we think subs out the window, could that be a way to handicap that? Take the two plus monies and just hope somebody gets somebody else out of there.
Yeah, I think if you want to safeguard yourself, you know, certainly, of course, you know, there is the concern like, okay, fine. You know, are these guys going to play a little bit, you know, easier to start out of feeling out process? So, but I get it. I get the fact. Yeah, probably. Basically, if you think there's a finish, it's not going to come via submission. So, yeah, then you go after the TKO fit.
Let's go to the co-main event here. And again, Dan Ige feels like a guy that for maybe a couple of years ago, right there in the cusp of getting to a title shot, didn't really get there. Now you got Damon Jackson here. And Jackson comes as the favorite, small dog, plus $1.05. Ige, a small favorite, minus $1.25 here. What do you make of 50K Ige here? Is he going to get back to his winning ways?
I'm going to trust the fact that he went to the drawing board after three losses and losses in four of his last five. And we're going to see, you know, Dan Ige 2.0, that he, you know, he's learned from being up there against the upper level competition of the featherweight division. And is certainly going to welcome a matchup against Damon Jackson, where an opponent in Jackson who I don't think has the advantage on the feet. I think Dan Ige has been searching for that, obviously, over his last couple of fights, and going to be able to rely on his takedown defense, which in my opinion is pretty strong, against a guy in Damon Jackson that's going to look to take the fight to the ground. And look, Jackson is surging. I mean, he has looked great. And, you know, four wins in a row. There's a reason why he's been given this opportunity. The first real notable name on his record. But I think that, obviously, as you know, Dave, there's levels to mixed martial arts. There's levels to the UFC. And I think even despite the three losses in a row for Dan Ige, he's a step above anything that Damon Jackson has had. So I like Dan Ige landing some body shots, getting in and out of the phone booth, if you will, not, you know, succumbing to some takedowns and either outpointing or maybe even getting a finish against Damon Jackson. I'm not worried about Jackson getting five wins in a row. I think Dan Ige is too good to lose four in a row and he bounces back.
And again, when you look at the numbers, right, for the style of victory that we might see for either guy, it's kind of leading you down that primrose path that it would be Ige with the hands plus 275 KRT, KRDQ, or decision plus 240. And Jackson's best way, if this fight doesn't go to the cards, would be via sub, right? 5-1 there, really a longer shot. So it looks like advantage big time, Ige with the hands, advantage on the ground if it gets there for Jackson. Do you see that playing out that similar fashion?
Yeah, I mean, this is a classic, like, grappler versus striker, for sure. That's how each guy has. I mean, Dan Ige, all his losses have come going to the judges' scorecards. I don't remember him having an issue from a submission standpoint or being threatened by any of the guys he's been in there previously. But, you know, there is something to it. Like, are you trusting the fact that Dan Ige is going to be better than when we saw him? He took some time off. It's been 6 months, 7 months now since we've seen him against a really hot, you know, fighter in Damon Jackson. I'm going to side with Ige because I think he's just the better fighter. He's been in the better competition, but I'm not going to hate on anybody picking Damon Jackson to win the fight.
I think, Jordan, if there's one fight in this card that everybody's like, don't blink in this fight, it would be Claudio Ribeiro against Abdul Razak Alassane here. So we're expecting a finish. Are you seeing it the same way? Because, again, these are two guys we think are going to be in a phone booth and are going to bang. Is there any way this plays over the total of 1.5? And a lot of times in three-round fights, that total is normally set at 2.5. This one is not. It's set there for a reason at 1.5. Which way do you think this fight goes?
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm hard-pressed to not seeing it going, you know, anywhere, you know, past the second round. Both these guys are finishers, and both these guys are first-round finishers. I guess the one caveat I throw out there for people maybe hesitant to lay that much juice is, look, Alassane, you know, at times has relied back on his judo. You know, he may be more being a patient fighter, but when he's been in there and he's kind of been overwhelmed by guys like Ribeiro, who, you know, come at you, throw bombs, he wilts under that pressure. So, yeah, I think it's, you know, Dave, you talk to all of us, like, there's a locks of the night, but, like, this one is far, very, very likely not going to the judges' scorecards. and likely being finished in the first round because Claudio Ribeiro doesn't know anything else outside of walk you down and either get killed or be killed. And Al Hassan's going to probably oblige.
And again, that's why you look at it's juiced heavily to the under 1.5 here at over $2. If you think somehow that we can get a zombie apocalypse type fight and they can somehow withstand that pressure and you can take the over 1.5 plus $1.85. It does remind me of like the Gaethje against Michael Chandler fight. I still can't believe that one went over, but it did. I don't know that we're going to get that there. Jordan, we got a minute to go here to kick off the new year. Tell the people about the Unnamed MMA podcast, what they get when they listen in each and every week.
Yeah, it's available on the ESPN Chicago app or wherever you download, you find your podcast. We try and break down the fights. We go through every fight on the main card. I'll give an opinion or a pick, maybe on the round total. As an example, I think Umar Nurmagomedov is going to win via decision. We talked about why that was against Hani Barcelos. Every single week, fight card or not, we break it down for you on the Unnamed MMA podcast.
Good-looking jacket to ring in 2023
from Jordan. Got to bring it strong for the first strike of the year.
Doing it well, my friend. There he is, everybody. Jordan Sherwood. Be sure to check out the podcast, the Unnamed MMA Pod, back there in Chicago. When we come back, Dan Vreeland joins the program next. We roll on. It's First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well. Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Start your mornings with VSiN's newest podcast, VSiN Daily Morning Bets. Josh Applebaum gives you every piece of info you need to be ready for the betting the biggest days games of the day in just 15 minutes. He discusses line movement, injuries, and what you need to be looking for before you make those wagers. So make the VSiN Daily Morning Bets podcast part of your morning routine. Download and subscribe wherever you get your podcast. We roll on this edition of First Strike. Dave Ross here at Circus Sportsbook in Las Vegas. What a pleasure to join the new year for the first time with Dan Vreeland. He, of course, you can follow him as I do, at Gumby Vreeland. He's a writer at Cage Side Press, a writer at Sports Gambling Podcast, host of the Top Turtle MMA Pod, and host of Sports Gambling MMA Podcast. Dan, you are a very busy man. I know it was tough to fill some of those holes while the UFC took the month off here, but it's good to be back and talk about the fight game. How was it doing those pods as we get ready for the first big event of 2023?
I mean, it wasn't awful. I will say, you know, talking about UFC is a lot better than talking about some like small Slovakian promotion. So, yeah, I'm excited for these. to say the least.
But, you know, the work that you do with some of those podcasts, certainly when you see those men and women then join the UFC, it certainly gives you a jump because you've seen a lot of these fighters in smaller organizations when they get to the big time. Let's talk about some of these fights here on the undercard, right? As we start off before we get to the big time main event here, Charles Johnson against Jimmy Flick. Johnson right now minus 345. Flick is plus 285 on the first fight of the night. I know sometimes people like to look to those dogs early. Is there any chance for the dog in this fight here with Jimmy Flick?
Yeah, this is actually a spot where I really do like Jimmy Flick. You know, you mentioned following these guys through the regional scene. Both of these guys were LFA champions, and I saw them extensively before they got to the UFC. And the thing about Jimmy Flick is he's just like always a game grappler, right? Like he's so good on the mat. And I 100% think Charles Johnson has an advantage on the feet. And if he chooses to keep it on the feet, you know, he should be able to win a boxing match there. But the difference maker is that he had a lot of trouble keeping his feet against Mohamed Mokaev. And not that Mokaev isn't a better wrestler than Jimmy Flick. He certainly is. But there is enough of a weakness there for me to think, hey, Flick might get this to the ground. And it's only really going to take one time on the ground for Jimmy Flick to make you look like a very smart man at plus 285. So he's definitely a underdog price that I've circled here on a card where I'm going to be honest, I don't love a lot of the underdog prices here. So for Jimmy Flick and possibly even Jimmy Flick's submission, if you wanted to get real crazy for a little sprinkle on top of that, I'd really like him in this spot.
Well, that's interesting there. It's plus 450 if you like Flick via sub. So it's normally you would think that would be a bigger, even bigger price tag for a dog. But I think it's picking up what you're putting down there, Daniel, that he really is live. So plus 285 to get it by any way is necessary. But via submission, just 450. So, and how about this? 10-1 via decision. So it sounds like, to your point here, Charles could dominate with the hands, but it only takes one for Flick to get this down to the mat. And that's why you're seeing it not overly outpriced, if you will, for the sub price versus the general price of plus 285.
Exactly. And we also have seen him up against guys who could, in theory, just choose not to wrestle him. Like, he fought Cody Durden. Cody Durden is an exceptional wrestler. I think people sleep on how good of a wrestler Cody Durden is. And he hit him with a flying triangle and finished him there. So, you know, obviously, I think the fact that you see the decision price so high and obviously the knockout price out of this world for Jimmy Flick is because it is kind of a one path to victory for him. So I guess, yeah, if you're going to bet on him, you might as well juice that lineup a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know that you said you don't really like a lot of the other dogs here. Aguirre's plus $4 against Argueta. He's -5. Nascimento is minus 330. Hernandez plus 275. Any of those dogs live, or do you think the favorites roll there?
I think a lot of the favorites roll. I've heard a lot of people in on Carlos Hernandez, and because, you know, like he's gutsy, he's tough, he's hard to put away. Mm-hmm. And I'll just be honest with you, I really don't think he's got a good chance against Alan Nascimento because Nascimento is just such a better wrestler than he is. And we've seen Hernandez put on his back a whole bunch of times. So like that worries me, obviously. You know, you mentioned the Daniel Argueta's new opponent, Nick Aguirre. Like, I think he's got a lot of chops, but the problem is I've seen him, like, rely a little bit too much on body lock takedowns, and he shoots his double leg from too far away. If he was fighting somebody in his debut who wasn't, you know, also a wrestler, mm-hmm. I might like Nick Aguirre a little bit. And you could say the same thing about Nick Fiore. Nick Fiore, he's a Henzo Gracie guy. Excellent jiu-jitsu. I've seen him in some grappling tournaments that he's looked really good in. If he wasn't fighting Matthews Rebetsky, who is an absolute beast on the mat, I might give him a look here and say, hey, maybe a submission. But he's up against a guy who, you know, has been in a submission match with Matthews Gamrot, and it went to decision because they were back and forth so hard at the end of it. So, yeah, like a lot of these guys stepping in, I just wind up thinking they're going to be sort of outmatched where they're their best, which is a little bit of a disappointment on a short notice guy. You want to see him get, you know, a spot where maybe they have an in into a victory here.
I think we look at maybe on the prelims, the featured prelim, if you will, could be Claudio Ribeiro against Abdul Alassan here. Alassan here is -$1.15. Claudio is -$1.05. We're expecting somebody to get knocked out. That's why it's juiced so heavily to the under 1.5. Do you see it the same way? Or is there any chance that these guys feel each other out for two guys that look like they just want to get in there and bang?
Oh, I really don't think so, and I really don't hope, though, to be honest with you. Yeah, and I actually don't think the value on the under is all that bad. You know, -230, you know, for an over-under, not a price you're always looking for. But I think this ends pretty quick. I think this ends in the first round. I think this ends with a knockout. So if you're looking to get one of these guys, you know, it's plus money on both of them to win by knockout. There's certainly no wrong way to bet that one. In fact, you know, plus 110 and plus 130, if you just bet that it ends by knockout, you're going to wind up making money. So I actually like Claudio Ribeiro here. I think the difference maker for me is when we've seen Abdulrazak Alassane up against the big puncher, or up against the guy who can match him in his striking. He struggles a little bit, right? Like, he struggled against Chaos Williams. And, you know, like the one bright spot in his last four fights is Alessio De Chirico, who, you know, has been knocked out by everybody and their cousin lately. So Claudio Ribeiro, you know, a little bit faster, a little bit younger, a little bit more polished. Like, he's going to match him punch for punch, and it might be the first person to land one. But if you're asking me who's the first person to land one, the guy who's lost three out of his last four, or the guy who's coming off a spectacular win on Contender Series and is, you know, 8 years younger and all that kind of stuff, I'm going to take the younger guy here. And again, at plus 110 for him by knockout, I think that's a steal.
Yeah, both guys plus money on the KO prop. So depending on who you think is going to get the to put the other guy to sleep, there is plus money to be had, but good luck picking which one. I think that's going to be that could be a showstopper of a fight there. Let's get to the main card here. And, you know, one fight that I haven't broken down a lot this week, and I want to get your thoughts on it, is Ketlin Vieira against Rocky Pennington here. And we know, Raquel, you know, we're talking about one of the top flight female athletes that we've seen over the last decade. She's 34 now, and she's going up against Vieira, you know, 3 years her junior. We know what Rocky wants to do, and she wants to stand there, and she wants to exchange those hands. Plus a dollar, Vieira here, minus $1.20, so very evenly priced. What do you make of this matchup?
I actually like Ketlin Vieira in this spot quite a bit. The reason being is that, like, if you look back at a lot of Rocky Pennington's losses, she had trouble with the physicality of her opponent. But somebody can match her physicality, and somebody can get in her face and not necessarily wear her out in the clinch, because she's got good cardio, but, like, stall her, put her in a position where she's going to eat knees up against the cage, or she's going to eat elbows up against the cage, and then separate. And then, you know, like, if it's a 50-50 striking match, you know, the Holly Holm fight looms heavy in my head. Holly Holm decided she didn't want to box Raquel Pennington and turn it into a slugfest. She wanted to throw two jabs, put her up against the cage for 3 minutes. Throw two jabs, put her up against the cage for 3 minutes. And Ketlin Vieira not only can do that, but the two jabs she lands are going to whip Raquel Pennington's head back. So even if she winds up landing more of the strikes, I think the strength and the physicality of Ketlin Vieira here is just kind of a little bit too much for Raquel Pennington. I also don't see this as a spot where, like, if she wound up in a bad spot, she could go to the wrestling. Like, I think ultimately she's going to have to just stand there and outstrike, because Ketlin Vieira is so good on the ground and so physical. So that one path to victory for me on Raquel Pennington is just a little too narrow that I actually wind up liking Ketlin Vieira quite a bit in this spot.
Let's get to the main event here, Dan, and get your thoughts on that. Obviously, Kelvin Gastelum out. Sean Strickland hops in. They're going to go ahead because they don't want to worry about weight cuts. Fight this fight at 205. Nasruddin Imavov here didn't get close to that. Weighed in today about 194. Strickland right there about 204. How does the weights vary for you? The 10 pounds with Sean being bigger, does that factor into your handicap at all in the main event?
So I've been back and forth on this a couple of times, and at the end of the day, I actually think it favors Imavov, because what 194 or 195 or whatever you weighed in at tells me is Nasruddin Imavov did not cut weight this morning. He did not have to sweat out. He did not have to worry about dehydrating himself. The guy woke up, probably had breakfast, and stepped on the scale. And the biggest knock on Nasruddin Imavov over his whole career has been that he doesn't have a good gas tank. People think he can't last the long distance, and that five rounds is going to be miserable for him. So now, knowing that Sean Strickland stepped in here on short notice, I imagine Sean Strickland still had to shed, you know, 5 to 10 pounds minimum. Sean Strickland is going to be the one whose body has been through a little bit more. And the other thing here, too, is I think he's just such a good counter striker that I think that's going to give Sean Strickland problems.
Dan, excellent handicap as well. Always great to have you on the podcast. We appreciate it. When we come back, going to D.C., Reed Kuhn next here on First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is.
In just a few taps in the Angie app or clicks on the site, you can have Angie tackle your home service projects start to finish. With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. Renters, you can use Angie too for moving, installations, or cleaning. Angie can even help with extremely specific projects. Just tell them what you need, and Angie will find the right solution for you. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
We roll on this edition of First Strike here on VSiN, the first fight card of 2023. Always a pleasure to have Reed Kuhn join the program right now. You can follow him on Twitter as I do, at Fightnomics. He's the author of a book of the same title. Reed, I know, you know, we look at your elaborate menus that you do before big fight cards. Was it a nice break for you for the last 3 weeks here? But you're back in action now as the UFC is back too.
Yeah, you take the break, you enjoy it, and then it is long enough to feel hungry again, and now you're ready to get back into it. So I'm fully poised for 2023.
All right, we can't wait to get rolling here. Let's do that with the main event here. Obviously, a change at the main event with Kelvin Gastelum. Out of this one, Sean Strickland on short notice is going to hop in. So because of that, we're going to make this a 205-pound matchup so guys don't have to worry about cutting weight. Sean made it at 204. We saw Nasruddin here made it at 194 here. How does that play into the handicap? Because I'm always interested for handicappers here with the weights and the adjusted weights when you see what you think you might see during the week and then what you actually see on the scale today.
Yeah, this has weird confounding factors all over the place. I mean, I think the last time we spoke, we were talking about Sean Strickland in a tricky close line matchup against Cannonier. And now we've got the same situation on consecutive cards. This is unheard of to have that situation in modern MMA. So yeah, they had to adjust the weight class because of a short turnaround. I think that hurts Strickland more than anyone. I mean, if he's walking around that heavy, I think he's probably not going to be in 5-round condition. It was during the holidays. I mean, this is all hypothetical. Of course, this is not in the numbers, but seriously, the guy came off a loss. He went into the holidays and then turns around and takes a fight on short notice. And Imaivov is actually bigger height-wise than Strickland, and yet he comes in lighter. He was in fighting shape. He's been training for months for this. He's had it on his calendar for a long time. I got to think that this benefits Nasruddin. So I am leaning his way. I have noticed that the line has been bouncing back and forth. I had a lean on Imaivov. I'm going to stick with that. Ignore all those other factors and just assume that he performs the way we were expecting him to.
And again, because we know that Sean sounds like he's going to be departing the 185s and move up to 205 here, because it seems like the weight cuts for him, just they're getting tougher and tougher. That's what he's been saying. How do you plug in those numbers with Strickland? Obviously, you get a lot of data on the guy, but it is a different weight class. Does that factor into this, to the models too?
In this case, I think it's clean because both guys should be fighting at middleweight. It's not like Strickland had 6 months to go pack on another 20 pounds for the next weight class up. He had a month over the holidays. Like, I just don't see him taking full advantage of the 20-pound difference. I think this is mostly water and conditioning, and that's the difference. So I'm going to basically treat these guys as they were, as classic middleweights. Neither one of them will have trouble with a weight cut. So, you know, a little bit of a concern for Strickland had he tried to make that would have been a huge red flag. So maybe that's not on the table, but that leaves me with what I have, which is the numbers. And the numbers lean Imamov. He is the harder, more accurate hitter. We know that Strickland can put on a nice jab game and, you know, score points over time, mm-hmm. but he is not a one-punch knockout artist. Imamov also has the ground game, so he has more control history. He's more likely to initiate the contact. So I think he's just going to be more aggressive, and he is going to be in better shape, I think, for the five rounds. So I don't like the way Strickland turned this around on short notice. And yet, at the same time, I'm also ignoring it and still landing on the other side.
And, you know, it's interesting when we mentioned, you know, who's going to be in better shape. And maybe that leans toward Nasruddin in this main event. Over 4.5 rounds plus $1.10. The under now is minus $1.40 for those 4.5 rounds. Because conditioning, which is normally not a question we have about Sean Strickland, because of all those factors you just laid out, Reed, is there an underplay here? And again, juice that way to minus $1.40.
Don't see it in the numbers. I do see it in his last fight. Mm-hmm. He got dinged up pretty hard. Now, Strickland has a pretty good chin, but he ate some really big shots just 4 weeks ago. That was not a long time ago, where Jared Cannonier was hitting him with monster shots. So that's actually more of a concern. I mean, he was probably concussed after that fight. Mm. Just because he didn't fall down or get knocked out does not mean he didn't eat some damage. And so that's actually a bigger concern, because you're walking around basically with damaged goods. That next shot can really put you down harder. And so that would be more of a concern. If I'm his coach, I got to be thinking about that. And if he starts taking damage early, that could pile up a lot more quickly than it has been historically. Usually he fares well during the fight, but he hasn't come back this quickly after the damage.
And again, he doesn't wrestle. For a guy that can wrestle in Sean Strickland, he just doesn't utilize that. I wonder if he tries to employ some of that in this fight, because to your point, he did take a lot of shots in that fight with Jared Cannonier not too long ago. Let's go down the card a little bit, and I know some fights that you have some intrigue when you look at the numbers. Look, you're going to have data on somebody like Rocky Pennington. So Raquel's back in there against Caitlin Vieira, and another fighter you're going to have pretty good numbers on here. A small favorite here in Vieira, minus $1.20, plus $1 here for Rocky. What are the numbers showing you here, Reed?
Mostly this is one of several matchups that is very close, but I am leaning the favorite on this one. I think Vieira is just a little bit more skilled. She, you know, both of them can go hard. Pennington, I see, is more of a grinder, not a finesse fighter, not a power hitter. She actually has never scored a knockdown. And mostly she's, I think, just grinding people out. She pushes people against the cage. I don't think she's going to be able to do that against Vieira. Vieira is actually a little bit bigger. She's younger, and I just think a little bit more skilled. You know, she's more dangerous with her skill set. She's not just relying on the gas tank to push people. We've seen her in high level fights before. I mean, we've seen Pennington there too. But I think we do know what we're getting with both. We actually have over 300 minutes of fight time between the two of them. So I like the fact that the numbers are telling me there is a lean here. It's not a big lean. I agree, this is a close fight. Probably going to go the over, probably going to go to decision. You're going to have to lay a lot of juice for that. But I do like Vieira eventually getting her hand raised.
And maybe Vieira by decision could be the way to go there, because I'm with you. It feels like this is going to get over 2.5 rounds in that fight. On the main card, a pretty intriguing fight here. Punahele Soriano against Roman Kapilov. Kapilov right now plus $1.30. Soriano minus $1.50. We know Soriano's been training with Dan Ige, who's also on this card. What do you make of that, which could be a very compelling fight?
Yeah, on paper, it's interesting. Both guys have scored a lot of knockdowns. They have yet to be knocked down, so they are successful bangers, if you will, mm-hmm. and almost no takedown attempts between the two of them combined. So we should expect some leather being traded here, and it's numerically anyway kind of a coin flip type fight. And so when I see the coin flips and you're going to give me a decent plus money on one side, I'm actually leaning Kapilov. Now, I will say it's kind of counterintuitive. When I lined up the performance metrics, Soriano did have the edge in a lot of the performance metrics. So like striking accuracy, if you compare the power per landed shot, he gets a little bit of an edge. Not as good defense, perhaps. And Kapilov does have the range advantage. So some counterbalances there. But all of this lands on, we're probably going to see a striking duel. And I'm willing to go with the dog because he's going to return plus money on a card where I actually have several situations where I'm basically going with an even money play.
Okay, so again, plus $1.30 here for the slight underdog, but the metric showing you this is probably more of a coin flip type fight. So there's where you find the value in that number right now. Juice to the under, by the way. You mentioned these guys probably going to stand and bang. So minus $1.55, 2.5 rounds. Over, slight plus price there, plus $1.25. Do you think we're looking at a KO, TKO? Because the subs look at their long shots at 9-1 and 16-1.
Yeah, submissions probably not. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know, neither one of these guys is going to be looking to take it down. I think both of them are confident strikers, so they are willing to stand. You might have a situation where someone has good striking, but, you know, they know that there are better chances on the ground. I don't see that as the case for either one of these guys. I think they're going to go right after it. So that does lead you to some finishing potential. It's a middleweight. Both guys have good knockdown rates. The only thing that I don't see is damage. You know, neither one of these guys has been knocked down. So to see a knockout, we'd actually have to see something unusual. And that is one of these guys eating something harder than they've seen before. But I agree. The under probably is juiced for a reason. It's because of the knockout threat. The longer they stand, the more likely someone's going to land something big.
The biggest price in the card, we have Nurmagomedov on the card, and that's Umar this time, and he's over a $9 betting favorite here against Rayony Barcelos. Is there any shot for the dog here at plus 650, or do you think this is Umar all the way?
I'm landing on Umar all the way. I am not really going to pay that price straight up. I think obviously you're going to be looking to pair him with, there's several other fighters that are lesser known that I'm not going to be looking at because of a lack of data, but there are some pretty juiced fighters on this card. So maybe you put that in a chalky parlay. But looking at the numbers, first of all, we have a massive age difference. Mm-hmm. So Umar Nurmagomedov is the much younger guy. And right out of the gates, I'm thinking, okay, you know, if he has advantages, he can exploit that. Then I look at the striking metrics, and perhaps surprisingly, because Barcelos does have a history of good striking and knockdowns, Nurmagomedov actually shows up more technical, very, very good defense. It's very hard to hit him. He has eaten very few shots. Now, limited sample size here, but he hasn't been hit a lot, and he's been very accurate with a high pace. You combine high pace striking with very eager takedowns. This is a very aggressive fighter in Nurmagomedov. He is either going to hurt you up top or he's going to take you down. Probably going to win this one way or the other.
Got to lay 10-1 if you want to battle and take Umar to win you that dollar, but he is the big favorite for a reason. Reed, we appreciate it as always, my friend. It's great to be back. First Strike here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Thanks for watching First Strike. Of course, subscribe on YouTube, and we always have First Strike First Look for you each and every Tuesday as we give you the best of the numbers before we get to First Strike each and every Friday. So download on iHeart, Apple, or your favorite podcast. Thanks for watching First Strike on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.